What's up, guys? It's Will Witt here, joined with the wonderful Taylor Trandall.
Aww.
As well as intern Tyler.
Oh my goodness.
And the amazing Will Witt's here to guide you guys. No, Amala's also here. Amala's here, okay? Wonderful to have her. We're starting off today. I'm going to tell you guys a story, okay? So grab some popcorn, grab some hot cocoa, whatever it is that makes you comfortable. I was on campus today, and I was doing a video where I asked people if they knew what PragerU was. And of course, you know, it's a leftist campus here in California, in Los Angeles, Cal State LA to be exact. And some people knew what it was, and a lot of people didn't. But we met this one guy who did know what PragerU was, and he comes up and he's like, "Oh, PragerU, it's full of crap. From top to bottom, it's full of crap." And I'm like, "Yo, just give me one example of why PragerU is bad." And he's like, "I don't need to give you examples. I don't need to give you examples." I'm like, "Just give me one. Tell me why it's bad. Just give me one example." And he's like, "I don't need to give you an example. I'm a political science major." That was his reasoning for why he doesn't have to give a reason why PragerU is crap. We have people who are professors at universities come and give our 5-minute videos, people who have been in politics and culture and all sorts of stuff for decades. But he knows more because he's a political science major at Cal State LA.
Yeah, I mean, everybody always uses those sort of appeals to authority. "Well, I got this degree, and that's why I don't have to listen to a word that you say."
Yeah.
As if you can't go and read the same books or read the same articles and comment on the same stuff that they do.
You really know more about political science if you don't go to college. Right after he said that, honestly, I said, "I dropped out of college." I said, "I dropped out." And I know more than you. He didn't like that very much.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Yeah, and then there were some communists on campus, where literal communists, they were talking about starting the revolution. They got these shirts and all these signs, and they're coming out to do this revolution thing. And they're all setting up. And I'm like, "Hey, you guys want to talk?" And they're like, "No, get away from us. Get away." I'm like, "Let's talk about your ideas." They're like, "No, get away." And then they go and start professing their communists. Like, they stand up on this sign or on this, like, big bench. And then they're coming and, like, telling everyone the revolution is coming. And we have to fight against the capitalist system and everything's crazy. And then I'm sitting there. I'm, like, laughing. Me and my cameraman were laughing. And I'm, like, pointing the mic at them so I can hear them. We're filming them. And then the lady points at me and she says, "This guy right here is one of the guys that we have to tear down. He is a fascist." And all the kids there look at me. And they're like,
amazing.
Smiling. They're like, I'm here. Look at what I'm wearing. Okay. I'm in like board shorts, flip flops, and a shirt with tigers on it.
That is a fascist outfit if I ever saw one.
That's what I'm saying. And so then I tell everyone, I'm like yelling, I'm like, "It's the mustache." And everyone laughs. So anyway, there's my story from today.
And it's funny because you're out there, you are fighting for those people to be able to speak. You are fighting for those people to be able to assemble and then call you a fascist. It's amazing.
Of course I am. I'm fighting for the people who hate me. That's what it's all about, fighting for everyone, even if they hate you.
Well, it sounds like you had a fun time today.
I did. I did have a fun time.
Is it refreshing to be back around like-minded people, or do you like going out there and talking to the crazies?
No, I prefer being around you guys.
I'm glad.
You guys smell better as well, which is important.
That helps me sleep better at night, mm-hmm. I think.
I hope so.
Now, we're going to get into our first segment of the day, and this is with Jubilee, and they put out a series called Spectrum, where they bring people, maybe it's all white men or white women or people in the LGBTQ community, and ask them questions, and then they get to answer on a scale of strongly agree to strongly disagree. Now, this Spectrum video is, do all black men think the same? So let's just get right into it and see what we find.
The N-word should stop being used by all races.
This is what renting furniture with feathers
looks
like.
Oh my gosh.
Pieces that fit your style
right into an end.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so they've dispersed. Where are you guys at? The prompt is, the N-word should stop being used by all races. Where do you guys fall on that spectrum, Taylor and Will?
Sorry, I couldn't hear the video, but I would say, yeah, of course.
Should stop being used by all races.
Yeah, either used by all or not used by all.
What about you, Taylor?
Right. Yeah, I pretty much agree.
Yeah, I think I'm there. You can come to the decision whether or not people can say it or they can't, but it has to be unanimous and across the board when it comes to all people of all races. Yeah, no, I don't think so either.
Like, it's not illegal to say it.
No, more of a social standard.
Right, right.
Well, let's see how these guys answer.
I just think the N-word, when you look at the root of the word, Even slaves would use it to describe other black people when accepting their supposed oppression. So I just think, when I think about that, I don't think you can do anything to erase the history and the blood that's been shed on that word. There are so many people who the last thing they heard was the N-word as they were being murdered. So I just, when I think about that, yes, I think the word should stop being used.
Personally, me, I feel like it kind of starts with us. The fact that we make it so cool within music and within like entertainment, that it lets other people feel like they have a pass, or that it's okay because my favorite rapper said it, or I heard it here, or you guys say it all the time, how come I can't say it? But at the end of the day, it's black culture pain, and if anyone's going to be using it, it should only be us, and that's it.
You can't really own a word. I think, you know,
it's Black Mike.
I don't know who Black Mike is, but I've watched videos with him,
right?
Yeah.
You did a Man on the Street with him.
What? Black Mike's in this video?
I pre-screened this video, and Black Mike is the cool one in this video.
I didn't know his name
was Black Mike, but...
Yes, well, his name's Mike, but we call him Black Mike.
Okay.
He's the one, when I went to California State University Northridge, and I dressed up as a Native American, some of you guys might know his throwback video.
Mm-hmm.
I was a Native American, and he was the Black Pilgrim.
Oh, okay.
You remember?
No.
Did you watch the video?
I think I watched a video where you dressed up as a Native American. I don't remember him being in it.
Oh. How do you not remember?
I mean, I must have seen it.
Amla, you need to go back and rewatch my catalog of videos.
So sorry, Will.
Anyway, that's Black Mike. Black Mike's awesome.
That's all you wanted to say.
Yeah, Black Mike's great.
No, but he makes a very valid point here.
We can own it in the sense where it's a black cultural thing, but the idea where we kind of make it out to... where we say like, oh, other people can't say it. I think that's more of like a insecurity within the black culture of not being able to hold power. Cause historically it's like, right, historically black people didn't have as much power. So we're trying to hold on to literally a word that only has meaning because we add meaning to it.
I mean, respectfully, I ain't trying to hear that, right? Like, I feel like the only reason it's policed so much, and I feel like the only reason we even have like this debate or this debacle over whether we can use it or not is because we're black people. And I'm not one of those people that think everything is racist and all that, but in this specific instance, right, in many different, several instances, women in many, many instances have reclaimed the word bitch to be a term of endearment. In the 90s, there was heavier women reclaimed the word fat, obviously respelling it and things like that. But I feel like in those instances, nobody bats an eye. Why is that understood? But with this, it's so confusing. Like, oh, I don't know if like, you know, when there are boundaries set, and that word is one of the boundaries that I think we have respectfully and rightfully set up for ourselves.
Except you don't really get to set boundaries on words, and you don't get to claim words for people of a certain race. It's not a thing that you get to do. So respectfully, I think that that's wrong. And the words, the B word that he mentions and the word fat have been reclaimed, but they're still used across the board in all different forms and all different respects. So those aren't really valid examples. And with the N word, again, either all races can say it or all races can't, but even then you cannot compel language. So honestly, the word is free for anybody to say at this point.
Did women reclaim? Do you like being called a bitch? That is like, what? Women
the
don't.
The B word, Will.
It's fine. Women, like he said in the video.
Craig tuned in for just that.
Yeah,
5 seconds.
Listen, okay.
Our boss.
Or whatever. It's like women didn't reclaim that word. That's like a totally bad example.
Well, in a sense, they have. I mean, I hear girls all the time that refer to their friends as that word all the time. You hear it in rap music now, whether it's a female rapper or a male rapper, referring to people as the B word. So it has been reclaimed in a sense, but you can't claim words.
The thing about claiming is that it's still a negative connotation with it, even if you're reclaiming it. Like, you can't have a word that means something like that's so good, but then other people are looking at it like knowing that it means something bad. It doesn't really make any sense.
But that has happened with the N-word, and in some cases, the B-word. If a black person says my N-word or my B-word, there's no negative connotation attached to that. especially when we hear it so often in music, which is another thing. If you don't want the word to be said, don't put it in your music, especially when you know your music is consumed by people of all races. Like, there's that famous video of Kendrick Lamar bringing a white girl on stage to rap a verse on his song. And when she gets to the N-word, she says it on stage because he brought her on stage for that verse. And he cuts the music and reprimands this girl who he brought on stage for saying the N-word in his own song.
Yeah, I remember that.
You can't just claim language for people that look like you. It just does not work that way. The world does not work that way. Let's continue with the video.
So I don't want to, I'm not trying to hear the, like, if we use it, why can't it? We do that all the time with a bunch of different things. And I don't think this should be one of the areas where we're like, yeah, let everybody say, nah, I'm not.
Well, I think it goes back to where you're saying boundaries. Because when you break down to inner communities where, you know, Blacks and Asians, Blacks and whites in hip hop culture, where there's like, it's five group of friends and their Black friends don't care. They're like, say it. Like
facts.
That happens. So it's
facts.
Like, we're having this broad conversation and, you know, I know all of us aren't trying to be the spokespeople for Black people, right? But it's like, it's such a convoluted, I guess, topic where it's like the expectations aren't clear to people depending where you are. If you're on the East Coast, West Coast, like it's very unclear. That's what I think.
I agree.
I'm not arguing whether or not it's okay to say it or whether white people say it. I'm just saying if we don't want white people to see it, say it, I think it needs to be very clear. And I think even in fact, in this new age of our culture, I think we're seeing more people saying we don't want white people to say it.
Next prompt.
Homophobia is a big issue in the Black community. 3,
I'll let them answer.
2, 1, go.
It's interesting that there seems to be a general consensus on that. And it is true. Homophobia is a major issue within the Black community, which is something that has been brought up a lot when conservatives talk about the left and their sort of blinded guidance and worship of the Black community, is that even the Black community in large part does not stand up for the values that you preach, and that is to not be homophobic. There is a large number of people in the Black community, and this is mainly because of religion, which is something totally fine if you don't agree with homosexuality. But homophobia is a problem within the Black community.
Yeah. I guess so.
No other comments.
I don't know. I mean,
you're not familiar?
I mean, no, I am familiar, but it's like, is it necessarily homophobic? Like, many of the Black men in America, especially in California, when California was passing gay marriage, like, voted against it. It was a majority of African Americans that voted against it.
Right.
But, you know, you don't label just because you voted against gay marriage as homophobia.
Right, but I think there is a larger disenfranchisement, I guess, if you want to use leftist terms, of gay people in the Black community than there is in other communities.
Right. Right.
Yeah. A lot of us Black men, we will rather be friends with the homie that, you know, probably has a rape attached to his name than the homie that's part of the LGBTQ+ community. And I think that that's something that, you know, we got to work on as people, because my thing is, I don't understand the whole big phobia of, okay, what he decides to do in his free time or behind closed doors, why does that bother you so much? Why does that affect you? Like, why do you feel like is such like the scum of the earth?
And I also think it comes from religion, because I don't want to get too controversial with that, but people are very religious, especially in the Black community, you know, Christians. And you know, when you talk about the Bible, you know, they say, you know, homosexuality is a sin. So a lot of people have that ingrained in their mind, this is absolutely not right. And for a lot of people too, when they see a man, they want to see a manly man, and they associate that with being straight.
Heterosexual men have a fear that homosexual men will treat them how they treat women, if that makes sense. And so they're afraid of that treatment. And I'm on somewhat agree, because I'm rather torn. I think I've lived a life where I'm around very open-minded, inclusive people. So I'm not sure how big of an issue it is in the community, but I know that in the Black church sphere, homosexuality is often made out to be the worst thing that you can be. There's almost nothing worse than being gay. And I think that's also where some of the homophobia comes from. We like to ignore all the other sins, all the other things that the Bible outlines that are not, you know, holy And then we just take homosexuality and we make it the worst. You know, granted, the Bible says it's an abomination. I get that. But the Bible says any sin will send you to hell, so.
You can't be pro-black and date a white person. 3, 2, 1, go.
I think really the issue with this statement is, for me, if you are a stand-up person and you stand up on your morals and your character, it doesn't matter who you date. And I think a lot of the issue is a lot of people get into, you know, interracial relationships, or they date white people and they forget who they are. And if you are pro-black, it doesn't matter if you're dating a black person, a white person, because you can date a white woman and a black woman and still not even be for the cause. So I really think it's up to the person if they stand on their morals or not.
I agree to a certain extent, but personally me, I feel like if you're pro-black, you're pro-black for everything. Like, you're for the advancement of the race, you're for businesses, you're for everything black.
Advancement of the race. What language? Imagine if they did this with white people and they said, if you're for pro-white, you're for advancement of the race.
Right, right.
What would happen?
Yeah, and he goes on to say that he's actually not pro-black, but it's still an interesting rhetoric that you can, that he can say that so openly about the black community, but you could never say that about the white community. Oh my gosh, would you be torn down in the street for saying that to anybody, for even uttering that?
I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
So it's kind of hard for me to understand how someone can be pro-black and want so much for, you know, the black culture and the black race, and then they're in a relationship with someone that doesn't represent that, you know?
So are you...
I'm sorry, I gotta pause again. Mm-hmm. Isn't pro-black meaning that if you're really pro-black and that's what you're all about, then you should be going and, like, educating people on pro-blackness and what blackness is and talking to people?
Agreed.
Like, not just staying in your enclave of your own people, but, like, mm-hmm. going and talking to people who disagree with you so that the whole world can be pro-black, right? If that's your mission,
right?
Shouldn't you want to go and talk to white people to make them agree with you?
Yeah, but I find that the rhetoric on the pro-black side of the aisle is that, no, we need to stick to our own race and we need to develop our own race and we need to make our own race successful to not only prove that we can do it, but just to keep our success contingent upon you being black and you being part of this community, rather than trying to meet other people outside of your race and try to convince them to be pro-black, which is a sad way to look at things. You shouldn't relegate yourself to just dating people of your race or being friends with just people of your race just for the sake of being pro-black. And yeah, you make a good point. Somebody who is truly pro-black would go out and want to talk to people of other races and influence them and find white people that would want to date you. I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you were against racism,
right,
and that's like, we're against racism because we're pro-black and we don't want racist America. It's like, well, then you should date white people, you know, or at least try to date
white
people.
Right,
so like, you can show that these people aren't racist, like influence them.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. And that's what I find is like the people who are in interracial relationships, you learn each other's culture. You get a grasp on what the other person has gone through. And that is inherently an anti-racist, I guess, in leftist terms, way to go about life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's finish up this last little question and then we'll move on.
If you're black and you're pro-black, you cannot act on attraction to someone from another race.
Personally, I'm not pro-black, but in my mindset, like, I'm saying if you're pro-black, you wouldn't find someone that's not black attractive to me. Not saying attractive, but you wouldn't even want to cross that line and even engage in a relationship with them. You can have, like, you know, like lust, like, hey, you know, she's an attractive white woman, but ideally, you want black kids, you want black family, you want your lineage to carry on.
I don't know. I feel like the question in itself kind of like low-key negates the demographics of the country. I mean, black folks make up 13% of the country, roughly, and a lot of the time we live in concentrations. So, you know what I'm saying? If you in Iowa, it's going to be a little tough to find you like a black woman, especially somebody that might identify as pro-black with you. So I think it depends on what you do, not who you decide to be with.
My first thought response to that is like, what's the point of looking at people differently? It's like we get upset that people black do it mind. To us in generally, like looking at black people and judging them and stereotyping them and making assumptions about them. It's like, so on the flip side, why should we be doing that to other people regardless of who, you know, they're in a relationship depending on the color of their skin?
I'm not gonna lie, I do. Like I look at people differently based on who they marry. Because dating, you know, you could be dating for fun. I feel like I look at people different based on who they marry. Like Jordan Peele, Childish Gambino, I feel like I can look at them and be like, I'm not looking down on them. I don't think of them negatively, but I'm like, oh, I see. And like, oh, okay, I see. Like, because like black men that date white women, there's something different, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what it is. Like you oh, okay, Childish Gambino, I can see that. Jordan Peele, okay, I can see that. I can't think of another example, but I feel like I can tell. Like, okay, like that's cool. You know, I'm happy. You happy? It's no disrespect to them, but I see the difference.
So interesting. This whole video is just really interesting, but what I like is that these guys came together and just had a good, fruitful conversation about race and about race relations in America. You can check out the rest of the video on Jubilee. Again, it's called Do All Black Men Think the Same? But it's just an interesting discussion, especially when so much of our rhetoric right now is revolving around race in the political sphere these days. It's very interesting to see just normal, average, everyday people get together and talk about their views on race. Now, before we move on, I want to get into a few super chats here. Rogerio de Leon Pereira says, I am busy. We'll watch you later. Just stop by to say that Will rocks.
Wow.
Wow, Will.
Wow.
Sedentary or...
what's the other? Sedimentary or igneous. Yeah. Thank you, intern Tyler.
Amanda Scott says, love watching you guys. So intelligent and well-spoken. Definitely the trifecta. Not complete without you, Taylor. You deserve more shout-outs. Love, Amala, and Dubstash 2.
Aww.
Dubstash 2.
So sweet.
And then Michael Riley, Metal Mike here to this
yes,
day.
Yes, Metal Mike.
We need a new sound effect.
We really do. We do need a sound effect specifically for Michael Riley. It's almost metal.
We need like some metal music. Yeah, so we'll get something.
Metal Mike.
Metal Mike here. To this day, I have never heard the N-word used anywhere but in songs on the radio. We should socially discourage the use of the word, but never make it a law. Check the PragerU emails for the email subject titled Anvil of Chrome. Okay. Will do.
I don't know about the email, but I generally agree with his sentiment.
Yeah.
Thank you, Metal Mike.
And last one here, Elijah D says, love your insights and the chemistry between you three. Shout out to Taylor. Watching you being much more involved and comfortable on camera, knowing that you are also required off camera is inspiring to see from Belgium.
Wow. I'm just getting all the love today, guys.
Listen, the boys are getting the love today.
Yeah, I was really quiet at the beginning of this video because we were troubleshooting some audio issues, but hopefully you guys didn't notice them, but.
Yeah, hopefully you guys can
it's
hear us.
It's tough. Someone's got to do it.
Someone's
got to
do it.
Carry all the technical stuff, the promotion, everything, and participate. But, you know.
Oh, Taylor's back is killing him.
Yeah. Back is killing him from carrying the team.
Now, next here, we're going to get into a video that Jordan Peterson put out. And let's get right into it.
15 points since the 1980s, and make a case in your book that that's related to fatherlessness. Boys scored lower than girls in the 63 largest developed nations in which the PISA, a set of international standard tests, was given. Boys are 50% more likely than girls to fail to meet basic proficiency in any of the three core subjects of reading, math, and science. By eighth grade in the U.S., 40% of girls are at least proficient in writing compared to 1 in 5 boys. Boys who perform as well as girls are graded less favorably. Boys have gone from 61% of university degrees to 39%. Girls, the reverse. Percent of boys who say they don't like school has gone up 70% since 1980. Boys are expelled from school 3 times as often as girls. 1 in 3 children in the UK and the US grow up without a father.
That's a sad thing to listen to. It's a sad thing to hear. Yet on the
good
other,
for you.
It is a good
fine
thing for me.
You.
it's fine
worse
for me.
For me and Taylor.
It is way worse for you and Taylor. But at least you guys are sort of out of that bend of the whole college age and education age of boys.
Yeah, I've dropped out twice, so yeah. I'm out of it.
So you kind of had your chance there, yeah. Will.
So you're smart.
Yeah.
No, I'm really
no risk
smart.
For you.
But it's sad to hear. And on the other end of the coin, we hear nothing about. how hard it is to be a man and to be a young man here in America. Yet we hear so much about the oppressive patriarchal nature of America and how horrible we are to women and how hard it is to be a woman in this nation. Yet statistically, that doesn't hold up. And when we look at different facets of what it means to be human and living and suicide and depression and jail time and homelessness and fatherlessness, it seems that men are more affected by that than any other demographic.
In terms of education, it seems like the education in America and most Western countries is entirely what it seems to be matriarchal, where teachers and administrators and teachers' unions are putting more of an emphasis on girls and saying that we want to teach the boys exactly like we teach the girls, mm-hmm. instead of the opposite, instead of saying, hey, we're going to teach boys like boys and girls like girls. They say, we want to teach everyone like how girls should learn, because girls will sit in their chair and they'll listen a lot more intently, where guys, boys need a little bit more stimulation. That's just how it is, okay? It's a normal thing for boys to grow up and want to be roughhousing and doing more recess and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And that's a way for them to learn and develop their social skills. But instead, the schools come on and say, we want everyone to learn like girls. And have this appeal to authority that girls will have. And so boys, when they go through this, it's very hard for them because they're being treated like girls and then they don't feel like school is anything worthwhile to them. That's partly how I felt. I haven't really thought about it in that sense of being like more matriarchal, and that's the way our schools are set up. But mm-hmm. it really is true that I didn't feel like I was being treated like a boy when I was younger and then a man as I got more into high school and college age. I felt like I was being treated more like a woman.
Right. I could see where that would definitely be the case. Obviously, I don't have the perspective of growing up as a man in America, although I guess I can now. I could identify now and see how that goes for myself. But it's interesting to hear. And it sucks because it's that sort of problem that you don't realize until you're older. You don't realize that you went through that as a kid until you're a man and it's already happened and it's already come to fruition. So that's really horrible. And then on the same side of things, when opportunities come, they come for women, because we're pushing for women to be in STEM fields. We're pushing for women to be CEOs because apparently they've been oppressed by the male dominance in those fields. Although we know that the male dominance in those fields is only natural, and it's natural to our biological incentives and our biological needs and our biological traits. But we are pushing women into things that are not biologically normal for them, and then removing men from things that are.
Well, we're trying to transform America and the West into a society that is built on feminine principles.
Right.
When really these societies for generations, for thousands of years, since, 5,000 years ago, have been built on masculine principles, where for the most part, men have been in control of most of the hierarchies within these societies. You know, there are obviously ways that women can be in charge, and it's great. I'm not trying to say anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying that the way the society has been built up now, that people naturally put themselves into hierarchies, as Jordan Peterson talks about so eloquently. And the way that is done is by, mostly competence, with the most competent alpha male being the one who leads some sort of hierarchy. I mean, when you look in the Bible, you have God and then man and then woman and then children, right? Like that's just how it goes. And so the way that postmodernism and the leftism and how all this works is that they're trying to transform the West into a matriarchal society and controlled by women, which makes men weak, which means that we don't have male leaders to take control of things going on. Why do you think America is getting so screwed up? Because we're feminizing the men and feminizing the world around us and not looking at natural biological hierarchical structures and mm-hmm. saying this is how the world is supposed to do. And we're going against our biology to pervert something that has been there right in front of us for thousands of years.
Right. I've been doing a lot of reading because I'm writing a script about feminism, and I've been reading about the different waves of feminism and what time period they came about and what came of those waves. And right now we're experiencing fourth wave feminism, a wave that never should have been created, because first, second, and maybe third was enough for women in society to be working on an even playing field among the men in our society. Yet we've gone further than that. It was no longer about femininity and masculinity being viewed as equals. Now we're sort of blurring the lines of what it means to be masculine and what it means to be feminine, and then running away from the natural roles that come along with each of those characteristics. And I'm a little scared to see where our generations are at when it comes to masculinity and femininity, and even maybe 20 years, because what third wave feminism ended in around 2012, and we've been going through this fourth wave for 9 years now. So who knows where it's going to go from here?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, I thought you were going to say something.
Go ahead.
There's an old story. It's an old Norse myth. So, Taylor, maybe you know this because, you know, you're people. But about Venus and Tannhauser. You guys ever heard this?
No, I haven't.
You asked me.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. Well, Tannhauser was this, you know, warrior guy and super buff alpha male. And he was kind of offered to go into this land where he would be able to have his pleasures and wonderful things, but he would have to stay there in this land and not go back to, you know, the earthly world with Venus. And so Venus is this goddess, and she's beautiful and super sexy, and there's all these other women there, and they're like, we'll do whatever you want, and and we'll give you whatever you want. And it's like he stays there for a little bit, and he's enjoying himself, but then eventually he realizes that, you know, I can't live like this with these pleasures and these pleasures of this feminine world around me as a man. I need to get back into the real world and go back and fulfill my duties. I can't live this feminine lifestyle. And I'm somewhat butchering the story. You guys can go look it up. This is a short rendition of it. But essentially, it's like men, when surrounded by so much feminine energy all the time, is bad for men. Okay? There's no way around it. It's bad for men. If a woman is always surrounded by masculine energy, that's bad for women too. Okay? It goes both ways. Men need to be in spaces where their masculinity can flourish, where they can become social animals, where they're able to express that side of themselves. If they are forced to be feminine, which we're seeing because testosterone levels are totally dropping in this country, in the West in general, they're going to turn into effeminate men. And that's what makes so many problems in this country. In Afghanistan, the men there, I mean, they're super masculine in many different ways, you know? Like they are having tons of families and doing things that in America we are not doing. I'm not trying to praise the Taliban or anything, but I'm saying that, you know, they're doing things that American men should be doing, having families, being masculine, having good, strong family units. You know what I mean?
Right. And we have a video on this, a preview, a 5-minute video. I don't remember what the name of it is, but you can probably search masculinity and look it up and you will find it. But with these inherent traits that men have, the assertiveness, the aggression, the sort of unbridled need to go for status and to work really hard, that's natural to men. And there's this whole movement on the left to sort of try to remove that from men, remove toxic masculinity from males. And in doing so, we have these campaigns of raise boys and girls the same. What happens when you do that, when you try to remove those traits from men? They don't go anywhere. They don't leave. You're just simply ignoring them. So like Will says, when you're surrounded by feminine energy and you're ignoring the natural male traits that you have, that just gets pent up. You just have pent up aggression. That's what you have. And in doing so, you're actually harboring toxic masculinity, because now you have men that have these feelings of assertiveness and aggression that have been pent up and have been hidden and repressed, and you haven't given them healthy avenues of which to express those feelings. And you are breeding toxic masculinity in your effort to run away from it.
Yeah, that's our Ali Stuckey video about toxic masculinity, which you guys can check out. Excuse me, on PragerU.com. And then we also have our video. Excuse me. See, that's masculine. That's masculine energy right there. Oh, I just burp and don't care. And our video with Christina Hoff Summers called "The War on Boys," which is one of our oldest videos, but also one of our most popular videos, which came out about 5 years ago. Christina Hoff Summers is a feminist, but amazing, smart feminist, and really, really good video.
One of the earlier waves.
One of the earlier waves.
Yeah. One of the earlier waves of feminism.
0.5 wave.
Maybe first or second. You know.
But she's great, so definitely check out that video too. And leading into that, I mean, PragerU.com/donate. What is this week, Amala?
It is our triple week. So if you donate to PragerU at any point during this week, your donation is going to be tripled by a beautiful donor who has decided to triple match the donations to PragerU. So you can go to PragerU.com/donate. I'll show you the page right here. If you have trouble finding it, it looks just like this. PragerU.com/donate to support everything that Will and Taylor and I are doing. Support our 5-minute videos, our book club, our PragerU Kids program. Everything that we do here, let us keep our jobs.
Yeah, and this isn't lefty math, okay? If you give a dollar, that means $3, not $1, not 2 + 2 = 5, okay?
Yes.
You give us, we're going to triple it.
Okay? It's very simple. Yes. And okay, you can also donate on Instagram, Facebook, whatever platform you choose. If you just want to go online and go to PragerU.com/donate.
Yeah, you can also, if you go to PragerU.com/contact, you can also send a check to PragerU.
Made out to Will Witt.
Made out to Will Witt.
Say, yeah, not to break
and
you.
Say, secret, don't show to Dennis. This is just for Will. And give me.
Put on the memo line, internet improvements at PragerU office. Yes, so our please. Stream doesn't lag.
I know.
And audio equipment improvements.
Yeah. So must spend at least half on Amala. Yes, please.
More ice cream.
Now we're going to get into this very interesting Facebook post that I think Taylor came across and showed to the team. I'll read this out to you. It says, one of my friends told me about a powerful lesson in her daughter's high school class this winter. They're learning about the Salem witch trials, and their teacher told them they were going to play a game. I'm going to come around and whisper to each of you whether or not you're a witch or a regular person. The goal is to build the largest group possible that does not have a witch in it. At the end, any group found to include a witch gets a failing grade. The teens drove into grilling each other. One fairly large group formed, but most of the students broke into small, exclusive groups, turning away anyone they thought gave off even a hint of guilt. Okay, the teacher said, you've got your groups. Time to find out which ones fail. All witches, please raise your hand. No one raised a hand. The kids were confused and told him he'd messed up the game. Did I? Was anyone in Salem an actual witch? Or did everyone just believe what they'd been told? And that is how you teach kids how easy it is to divide a community. Keep being welcoming, beautiful people. Shunning, scapegoating, and dividing destroy far more than they protect. What an interesting experiment.
So none of the kids were told they were a witch.
None of the kids were told that they were a witch.
Wow.
And yet it was enough to destroy any sense of brotherhood, solidarity, reason that they had. And if you look at our country, I mean, that's
exactly
totally what's happening. And mainstream media is telling one narrative that these are the evil people we all need that are ruining everything. And then on the other side, you have these other people are the evil people ruining everything. And everything's broken down the way that we can like actually communicate with each other, find ways of, you know, discovering, okay, no, wait, what do you actually think? Like all the nuance is gone and we can't engage each other in good faith. Like we talked about on that Bill Maher video a few weeks ago. The result is we live in this mass hysteria and people are in their own echo chambers and not able to reason or give anyone the benefit of the doubt. And it's just so toxic and unhealthy. And the middle ground's important. People, it's like there's pressure because you want to be strong in your beliefs and you can totally be strong, but like not to the exclusion of being able to actually communicate with other people. And it seems like we're more divided than ever right now.
Right. And the teacher plays a key role in this whole analogy of having this sort of perceived authority and this innate trust because she's a teacher, she or he is a teacher. And you can apply that same analogy to the government and to mainstream media and to the people who are running, you know, the big tech overlords, that they have this sort of perceived authority and you have this innate trust in them because they hold something so powerful in their hands and in their grasp, yet they could very well be lying to you about who you should and should not trust. And they're pitting people against each other with the sole purpose of just doing that, of just creating division and polarity because it fuels them and it gives them more power. So it's just so much to question when you look at the world.
She's a witch. She's a witch.
You just made me think of Lord of the Rings again, too. Like, coincidentally, thank you so much, Amala. I know how much you love to hear about these.
So happy to do that.
But just the whole metaphor of the ring being power and how, like, the lesson of Lord of the Rings is if, you know, the right approach to power is to have humility and to know that it's too much for you to handle and you need to bear that with great fear, and you're better off casting the ring into the fire than trying to claim all the power for yourself because you don't know the destruction that you can wreak when you have absolute authority.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we seeing in society right now? We do not need to learn that lesson. Everyone is putting the ring on as much as they can and knocking out as many of their enemies as they can,
right.
You know, and they're taking as much power. Yeah, exactly. And then the healthy societies and civilizations cannot exist when it's all about who has the most power and dominating the people who have less.
Yeah.
And right now it's like a narrative the narrative that I believe must win the war. So I'm going to have to censor you. The lockdown measures, I'm going to have to impose them by power. And like anytime everything has to be done by force is extremely unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to look like Gollum or do you want to look like Arwen? It's pretty simple.
Oh, it's right, so
Amala?
Simple, right?
Right, Amala,
yeah.
Am I right?
You know who Gollum is.
It's very,
you know who Gollum is.
He's the weird looking one, but I don't know what he does.
Smeagol.
I don't know what he does tonight. but no, this thing, it sort of reminds me of what you were saying, Taylor. The next time we get to our history segment, which will be probably next Thursday, my segment is going to be on Thomas Jefferson's inaugural speech. But what he talks about in his inaugural speech is...
Don't ruin it.
I'm not going to ruin it. I'm just going to talk about... I'm going to talk about a small theme in it because it pertains to what Taylor just said. But he says that in becoming president, he never imagined the amount of power that somebody could have. And he spoke about this huge fear that sort of kept him up at night with how much power he possessed in being president and how much his words mattered and how much what he legislates and what he calls for matters, and people's lives are actually affected by that. And you don't see that sort of humility anymore in politicians. People enter the political space and say, yes, I have the answers. Yes, I know exactly what to do. And I'm going to lead you into prosperity. And I'm the right one. You should give me all the power. And it's such a crazy juxtaposition to the old school founding fathers who were going into this country with an idea of what it meant to be free and what an idea of what it meant to be prosperous, but knowing full well that they could truly mess this up. And they had this this fear that they had to do what was right. And if they didn't, they'd be setting this entire nation up for failure for generations to come. And politicians don't think that way anymore.
Politicians are all bought and paid for now.
And it's very sad.
But, but the founders, their entire experience was under tyranny. You know, their whole lives. And so the idea, freedom to them was just an idea to strive for. It was like a dream. Whereas for us, freedom's all we've ever known, and we've gotten fat on it. And
Black
never
Lives
known
Matter?
Tyranny. So we don't have any healthy appreciation for freedom, and we don't have any healthy fear of tyranny. And so it's the opposite problem of what the country was founded on. And I always go back to that quote, your character doesn't change without pain. And I don't think that until you've suffered under tyranny, you're not really truly going to appreciate freedom.
Right. And it's you're so right. I'm reading this book, and we'll get into it with Highly Recommended, but it talks a lot about that. But we'll wait till the Highly Recommended segment to get into it. I'm not going to ruin it. Before we get into that, we want to show this TikTok of a super based police officer having an encounter with a woman. Let's show you guys this. I'm sure you'll be entertained.
Do Black Lives Matter to the Grosse Pointe Farms Police Department?
All lives matter.
So when you say all lives matter, I want you to know that that is, in fact, a hurtful statement to the Black community, and I don't think you're aware of this. So if it's all right with you, I'd really like to tell you why that's a hurtful statement. Is it okay? Can we have a conversation about that?
You can tell me anything you'd like.
So when you say all lives matter, I just want you to know that that's, like, actually really hurtful. So we're going to try this again. Do Black Lives Matter?
I tried to pause
Will it. Will tried to pause it, and it did not work. We just started watching some guy dance. What were you going to say, Will?
I was just going to say, look at that dude's jawline.
It is a very good jawline.
Dude's sick.
It's a handsome police officer.
It's a handsome police officer. It's so. Like, I think Hot Scott became a police officer.
Oh, which he's not here. To much chagrin of the ladies probably listening right now, Scott is off getting married. Mm-hmm. So it's too bad for all of you ladies in the chat that are in love with Scott.
The gall of this guy.
His love lies with another. Yeah. So, sorry, ladies.
I cannot give you what you seek.
Let's finish this video up.
You can tell me anything you'd like.
So when you say all lives matter, I just want you to know that that's, like, actually really hurtful. So we're going to try this again. Do Black Lives Matter?
All lives matter.
So, again, chat. I feel like that's a very hurtful statement, and I'm telling you exactly
and you
why.
You are entitled to your own opinion.
So you can't say Black Lives Matter? Like, that's just a statement you won't say?
I can say Black Lives Matter.
Okay, then, so that's it. What's your badge number?
76.
Badge 76, C. Roden, R-O-D-E-N.
My badge number is 78. It's Officer Ryan. R-Y-A.
Officer Ryan, cool. Thank you. I just wanted to have a conversation about why that phrase, do Black Lives Matter?
I like how she takes their badge numbers as if she's going to get them in trouble for saying that all lives matter, which is exactly what you should say as a police officer.
And you're not trying to have a conversation with them. And she's like, I was just trying to have a conversation with them. It's like, you're not trying to have a conversation with them. You're trying to force your ideas onto these just chilling out Chad police officers. But little did you know, Mr. Jawline coming back with all the answers.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. But I like that they stood their ground and said, no, all lives matter. I'm not going to sit here and compel my speech for you and say that Black Lives Matter, all lives matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about all you can do when people are engaging you dishonestly. Like, we had that question the other day. What do you do when the mob comes after you, basically? And it's like, don't try to reason with them. And we had the video the other day that we watched of the black conservative lady who confronted the white protester, mm-hmm. who was like, I'm advocating for you. And she's like, I don't need you to advocate for me. I'm not a victim. And the lady just had no answer. Because if you, and like your experience with the communist group today, like these people are just mindlessly puppeting ideology and talking points and are not interested in honest discussions and aren't capable of having them if you confront them with ideas.
Yeah, and that's exactly, and they're not in the interest of having an honest discussion, even though they tell you that they are. And they're not in the interest of advocating for you, even though they tell you that they are. They're in the interest of advocating for people who represent their views. And that's all that they want. They want to be in this echo chamber of people who do nothing but agree with what they say and then pat them on the back and say, you know what, you're a savior. You're doing something good. You're changing the world. When obviously that's not the reality, and obviously that's not what you're going to get. You're going to have people who disagree with you, but they don't want to deal with that.
They don't want to deal with Chad Kopp. Chad Musselman, strong jawline Chad Kopp.
Are you in love, Will?
No. He's not even that good looking.
I'm not defensive, you're defensive.
Will's going to be like, Scott, can you dress up like a cop for Halloween this year?
Oh my.
Hey, Scott. Two Black Lives Matter.
Okay, moving on to highly recommended before it gets too inappropriate. Okay.
Impossible.
For our first segment of highly recommended YouTube channel.
Okay, Taylor, okay. Why don't you start it off?
I'm going to go ahead and take Academy of Ideas before one of y'all takes it, because that's the video that, or that's the channel that collaborated with the other channel that
After
did
school.
Yeah, with After School to do that awesome mass psychosis video that we covered a few weeks ago. You guys should totally go back and watch that episode if you did not, because it's in a video that incredibly and perfectly explains what's happening in our society right now. And yeah, that's my recommendation.
Okay. My recommendation for YouTube channel is actually Variety. And it's because Variety has this great series called Actors on Actors. And if you love watching movies and if you love watching new films as they come out, and specifically films that are up for like Academy Awards and are, sort of cult classics or films that are really great in terms of the art of a film, they get actors from those films to come and interview each other rather than just being interviewed by some random guy who just does interviews. Mm-hmm. So the actors talk to each other about their respective films. I just watched one with Adam Sandler and Jennifer Lawrence talking about the films Mother and then the Meyerowitz. And it's just cool to see two people who are so experienced in their craft sit down and talk to each other about what that's like.
So Amelie gave you guys a woman pick.
Yeah, what? I fell asleep halfway.
Yeah, seriously.
Are you saying you wouldn't want to watch, Sylvester Stallone and whoever your favorite and Leonardo DiCaprio sit and talk about?
Maybe if it was a good movie that they're talking about.
Exactly, and that's what they do.
Not one I've never heard of.
Yeah.
You've never heard of any of those movies before?
Jennifer Lawrence and
Adam Sandler? Jennifer Lopez?
What? Jennifer Lawrence and Adam Sandler? Oh my gosh. They get plenty of huge actors that everybody loves. That everybody loves to come and talk about their films that just come out. Yes, yes.
Trying to use the majority rule.
Oh,
I've got the extended editions of Lord of the Rings. That's all the background of movies I need.
Yeah, and J-Lo isn't even in it, so okay.
Everybody always judges my recommendations.
No one likes my recommendations.
I am oppressed. I take it back. This is a patriarchy, and I am oppressed as a woman.
I'll give you guys the man's pick. It's got to be Jomez Pro, which is where I watch all the greatest disc golf action happening every single week. Tournaments, different stuff between the best players in the world.
Yeah, disc golf is super manly.
It is super manly.
Yep.
Look at some of those guys. Yep. Way manlier than you.
I would hope so. I would hope that any man is way manlier than I am.
This guy's name, he's one of the best in the world. His name is Eagle McMahon. That's his name.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a pretty great name.
It's a pretty great name. Eagle McMahon. It's great.
Now, there's a
You guys should watch disc golf. Jomez Pro.
There's a volleyball player who's been to the Olympics multiple times. His name's Jake Gibb. His middle name is Spiker. Spiker Gibb, and he's a pro beach volleyball player.
That's great.
It's like, how do you, you have a disc golf player named Eagle? I mean, how do these parents know?
I don't know. Well, it's good they didn't name their kid Bogey.
Gosh.
Sure.
Or Triple Bogey.
Or Will.
Or Will.
Next category is cuisine. Somebody kick it off.
All right, Taylor.
Do you not have these ready? Or?
We always throw it to Taylor.
No, I thought about this for like 2 seconds, and the first thing that popped in my mind was, okay, I'm going to try to describe this accurately. Mexican food, but like...
white.
Mexican-owned Mexican restaurants for Americans are the best restaurants ever. Like, American-owned Mexican restaurants are usually way overpriced. You have these huge plates of food, and it's like, it's just not worth what you get. But if you get, like, and then, like, authentic Mexican food is obviously, like, that's good. It's awesome. Like, real tacos, we have these in here in LA. I'm not knocking that at all. But, like, if you go to, like, middle America somewhere, go to those little restaurants that are owned by the Mexicans, and you get, like, free tips and salsa. They're always super awesome, super fast service. You get the Speedy Gonzalez combo that's, like, $5.50, and they have, like, cheap margaritas and beer, and it's just, like, there's, and get the queso. It's just like the best experience ever.
The queso is,
and it's so cheap. I know. You cannot find a Mexican restaurant with good queso here in LA. That's not, like, either crazy overpriced or just crappy queso.
I know. I agree.
So,
good choice.
Middle American, Mexican owned, Mexica restaurants for Americans are the best.
Nice. That's very specific. I'm going to go with, obviously, Nigerian food. You know, my heritage. I got a shout out to my own heritage. Go to any, it's so hard to find, though, depending on where you are. And even in LA, there's only a couple of places that actually do West African food, and many of those are not even Nigerian. But Nigerian restaurant, if you can find one, go and try it. Not only is, like, the food amazing, which a lot of people don't expect from Nigeria, which is sort of rude. Will didn't expect it, and I took him and he liked it.
I didn't want to eat zebra.
Well, guess what? We don't eat zebra. So
what do you do with them?
Go to, oh my gosh. We ride them, Will, on our dirt huts is what we do.
You ride them on the dirt hut?
Yes. Yes. That's exactly
Seems
what we
dangerous.
Do.
It's impressive.
Gosh. That's impressive. Oh, well,
some hops on them.
Yeah, I'm thoroughly impressed.
Anyways, you'll get educated when you go to a Nigerian restaurant, unlike Will. And
poor Amma, we really do kind of pick up.
Everybody picks up my choice. Aww. It's okay, I can take it. I'm not offended.
No, to be fair, we went on Amla took us for Foreign Food Friday to a Nigerian restaurant, mm-hmm. and we had egusi stew and pounded yam.
Yep.
And it was actually quite good.
It was
quite
good, really,
except for the bone that I ate.
Oh,
it was
my God.
Really good.
Yeah, yes. The bone freaked me out.
We do cook disgusting. Our meat with the bones in it. That's just a normal experience of eating meat when you're Nigerian. But
and what was the other, like, weird meat thing that was in there? The like,
tripe.
Yeah.
Taylor did not want to try tripe.
I didn't really. I tried it.
I didn't even try it.
It was okay.
I was too scared.
Fine.
Tripe is a part of a lot of different cultures. I'm sure there's a lot of Hispanic people who are listening who eat tripe. But yeah, tripe is really a standard in Nigerian food. But the best thing about going to Nigerian restaurants is the way that they treat you when you go there. Because they're often like little mom and pop couples that own these Nigerian restaurants, and they just treat you like family, and they're so kind, and it just feels like you're sitting in someone's home and eating a meal that they've prepared for you.
It's like Olive Garden.
Yeah.
When you hear your family.
Your family.
You know? it's exactly the same.
What's yours, Will?
I've had a while to think about this, and I've come to the conclusion mm-hmm. that I'm going to say, I think sourdough bread is my recommendation.
I hate sourdough bread.
Sourdough bread is great.
I hate it.
I love sourdough bread.
Ugh.
I think that if you're going to be having bread, you should be eating it sour.
The sourdough bread bowl at Panera, though.
Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah, I used to like Panera. Now I don't like Panera so much, but that bread bowl was really good back in the day.
Well, okay.
But I recommend sourdough bread.
Wow. Gross. Yeah. Moving on.
What cuisine even? Like, who invented sourdough bread?
Pretty sure it wasn't invented in San Francisco.
I don't know.
Because that's where they get like the best yeast and stuff.
No
like,
way.
Sour San Francisco sourdough. It's like a thing. I'm like fairly certain. Maybe someone should look it up. Look it up, chatters.
Marshall Flick gave a super chat. He said, it's a quote from a Julia Child. I believe in red meat. I've often said red meat and gin. Interesting. Interesting. I like Julia Child. What an interesting woman.
I do too.
Have you ever seen the movie Julia and Julia?
Uh-huh.
Pretty good.
She learns how to cook.
Pretty good.
If I've seen a Julia Child movie, I don't know it.
Okay.
101 Dalmatians.
What?
Doesn't it have Julia Child in it?
The cartoon one?
No, not the cartoon one. The like live action.
I don't
one.
Remember the live action.
Doesn't
one.
She play Cruella de Vil?
I don't know.
Wait, who's the
I don't know what you're talking
in
about.
The Devil Wears Prada, isn't that Julia?
Okay, first of all, Julia Child is Meryl a chef. Street? I don't know what you're talking about. Are you talking about the actress?
I'm talking about the actress.
The Devil Wears Prada is a great movie.
You're talking about the actress from Julia and Julia.
Yeah.
Which right? is definitely not Julia Child. That is hilarious.
Who okay. is that?
Meryl Streep plays Julia Child.
Wait, is Meryl Streep in 101 Dalmatians? Who's in 101 Dalmatians?
We need to move on.
I think you got her Devil Wears Prada character confused with Cruella DeVille.
I think you got literally everybody confused with everybody.
No, I'm pretty sure.
Glenn Close. Who looks just like Meryl Streep.
Oh, okay. Gosh, yeah, that's hilarious.
Like Diet Meryl Streep. Yeah.
That's hilarious. Okay, moving
what
on.
What movie's Martha Stewart in?
Martha okay. Stewart.
She's in that show with Snoop Dogg.
Where did you get Martha Stewart? We didn't even say kind of Martha similar. Stewart.
All right, next activity.
Next highly recommended is Summer Activity. Okay, guys, I already know what Taylor's going to say.
Do you?
Yeah.
Glenn Close movie marathon.
Yeah. Indoors with double masked watching Glenn Close movies. I just like go outside. I brought this up because it's the end of summer. So we only have a couple weeks left. Pumpkin spice lattes are coming back real soon. So, you know, soak up the rest of the summer as much as you can. I just get your vitamin D. I like going to the beach. I like playing beach volleyball, obviously, but we play spike ball. Mm-hmm. But I also like those weird yard games like, oh my gosh, what's the one? Croquet. Have you ever played croquet? It's so fun.
You still have a set?
Not my
it's
thing.
So fun. Go to a park, bring some music and some drinks and set up a croquet. And just
don't forget the friends.
Well, friends optional.
You can play by yourself.
Beersby is another game. Cornhole, all those ones. Mm-hmm. I just
wow,
love
you're giving 10 highly
games.
Recommended.
I'm just outdoor yard games. Go outside and play games. That's my point.
Okay, I'm going to be quick with mine. Mine is roller skating. I love roller skating. You know, it's just fun. Good summer activity. Pop in your headphones, play whatever music you want, dance while you're roller skating. Nice.
When's the last time you went roller skating?
Yes. Yeah,
I actually have roller skates literally in my apartment that I ordered off of Amazon, so you guys can try again to bully me, but it's not going to work because
just
I roller
Just because
skate.
You have them in your apartment. You didn't even answer the question.
What
when
do
was
you
the
mean?
Last time you roller skated?
Probably like 3 weeks ago.
Okay,
liar.
So, yeah,
that's not lying.
I don't believe you.
You don't believe me?
No.
I'm going to go home tonight and I'm going to send you a picture of my roller skates. How's that?
No, you have to be roller skating.
I have to go out and roller skate.
You own a spike ball set, but
yeah, you own a spike ball set. It's in the back of my car.
Yeah, my spike ball is in the back. We play spike ball together.
Yeah, we could roller skate together.
Can we invite Scott to roller skate?
We could.
This is just bully Amala segment is what it is.
No. Well, I just want proof.
I will send you proof.
No lies.
No. Okay. To be fair, I mean, it looks fun. When I'm at the beach and I see people skating by on their roller skates on the boardwalk, I'm like, oh, that looks like it'd be nice.
I actually did.
I think it looks horrible.
When my TikTok was blowing up, this company reached out to me and was like, oh, we are doing this sports ad thing for people who are in the political space in Gen Z who like do different activities. And I had to film myself roller skating. And then talk to this guy about like my politics and get that interviewed. And then they made it into like this commercial. You guys are never going to find it because I'm not going to tell you what company did it. But it's out there.
It.
You won't find
guys,
it either.
Guys, for the show tomorrow.
There's no way you're going to find it.
I swear I will find this.
The simp army is already on it. Yeah. Reddit is aflame with trying to
4chan
find
it. 4chan is on it.
It's not public, so it's okay.
Well,
I will find
who filmed it.
It was only used for like a, what is it called? Focus group for some sports company. So,
all right. Well, we're about to have a new focus.
What's your summer activity, Will, before we move on?
Tanning.
Easy. Okay.
Get brown, get hot, tan. Easy.
Nice. I think it's super vain to just tan. But if you're outdoors doing activities like I do and get a sweet tan just by
Taylor, you're just so much better than the rest of us. Okay.
I'm much better than you.
Not all of us have.
Not everyone.
Have so many friends.
Next category, ladies and gentlemen, highly recommended movie. Taylor, kick us off.
Okay, this is one that I picked 13th Warrior last time, and this time I'm picking the one that I also wanted to pick last time, and it is Equilibrium. So I think 2001 came out, starring Christian Bale, and it's basically like Brave New World-ish, and like a dystopian sci-fi where you have to take a pill every day that numbs you from feeling anything. And he misses his pill one day, and he's like an enforcer, badass martial artist guy who like, you know, tracks down the people who don't take their pills. And then he ends up not taking his pill. And then he has this whole moral and crazy, you know, transformation, and you get to watch it and it's awesome. And he fights Robert the Bruce at the end from Braveheart.
Nice. My recommendation, well, you guys probably already are all seen this, but The Departed, I just watched that for the first time, and that was really good. But if I have to give one that maybe you haven't seen, I will say The River Runs Through It. I just watched that for the first time as well, and that has a
beautiful
Brad Pitt in it. Who else is in it? Craig.
I don't remember his name.
Sheffer's in it. Tom Skerritt's in it.
Glenn Close is in it for sure.
She's definitely not, but you can still watch the film, and it's really good.
What year was that? I haven't seen it.
I've heard of it. I want to say it was in the 90s. Early 90s movie.
Yeah, I think 92.
90s Brad Pitt, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's about a relationship between two brothers and what they go through and what their life is like. Great movie.
Mm-hmm. You made it sound really boring, but...
Yeah. No, it's really great.
Well, thank you.
I can give it better. Maybe I'll recommend that movie, too. Just give a better description of it.
Go for it.
Two brothers.
One struggles with alcoholism and gambling.
Against the world.
In a world.
This summer. No, it's a really good movie. Watch Forever into it. My movie, 101 Dalmatians.
All right. Well, that's the next category.
I'll give a real movie.
Okay. Can you, like,
All right.
Expedite this
process? Okay, sorry.
You're going last.
I have a lot of movies to sort through. The Untouchables, which is not The Untouchables, okay? It's Intouchables with an I. It's a French film about, they remade it in the US, but it's really, really good. It's this dude, he's in a wheelchair, he's been like paralyzed, and he's super rich, and he hires on this like black guy who's like kind of from the hood, and he's like his butler, not butler, he's like his servant, and they become like best friends, and it's so amazing. It's beautiful, and they go on this adventure together. It's a crier movie.
Nice.
I hate crying movies.
I love crying movies.
Yeah,
They're
I don't
good.
Really like them. I didn't cry. I'm a man.
Oh, but whatever.
I'm sure other people did.
Okay, next category. Highly recommended book. Taylor, kick us off.
What did I pick? Oh, Fault Lines by, I think it's pronounced Vodi Bakum. It's a book on basically the how a lot of churches right now in America and in the West are adopting critical race theory, being infiltrated with it, and he is an a black pastor who has a church in Africa. He grew up in South Central Los Angeles and is super intelligent, and intertwines his story with a very intelligent takedown of critical race theory and from a Christian perspective. And it's just a really great read on basically Christianity and wokeism.
Nice. My recommendation is The Conservative Soul, How We Lost It and How to Get It Back by Andrew Sullivan. He talks about his view of what conservatism is and then the generalized view of what conservatism is. But he goes through in really the first chapter, this long explanation of how conservatism thrives on loss, because there's no innate need or feeling to conserve things unless you know what it feels like to lose it. And it actually gives me a little bit of hope, because right now we're going through this stage in our nation where we're losing a lot of the things that we should be valuing. But conservatism again thrives on loss, while leftism thrives on disillusion with what's going on. So the more that we lose, the more people who are going to sort of wake up and realize that conservatism is the way to go. So that gives me a better sleep at night.
It's good. There's only one book I could think of.
Oh my gosh. Why did I allow this?
How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies, which you can pre-order now. It's on Amazon. Search Will Witt. Search How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies. Or go to the link in my social media where you can get a signed copy of the book. If you go to my social media and click any of my links at the top of my profile and anything, there's a link where you can get a signed copy of the book. So that's great. Would love to give you a signed copy, or also go to Amazon, order. This book teaches you totally how to beat the left, how to use persuasion tactics and the right facts, how to beat the left, How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies by Will Witt. Pre-orders open now.
Next category on Highly Recommended is...
Did I mention
that? My gosh.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay.
Next
Please
one.
Please pre-order the book. Thanks, guys.
Well, I'm going to hurt you. Next category is album. Taylor, kick us off, and we'll go through these fast since we're going over time here.
I don't really have one.
You don't have one?
Nah.
Okay. I guess
nothing about
we'll
music.
Kick it to me. My album recommendation is called A Stranger in the Alps by Phoebe Bridgers. If you really like chill songwriting, sort of folky, she writes really good songs that tell a really great story, and she has a very unique voice.
Garbage.
It's not garbage at all. It's so good. It's so good. And some of the songs are just really sad, but you can tell they're just very personal. But Stranger in the Alps by Phoebe Bridgers. Your turn, Will.
I'm just floored at that response.
Have you listened to that album?
Yes.
It's great. It's great. I stand by it. It's great. You can't hate on it. We'll talk about this after the show, but it's great.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Well, my book is actually on audiobook, which you guys on September 21st when it comes out. It's like an album. You can pre-order.
Oh, my goodness.
No, okay, listen, I'll give you guys a real album. My favorite Rolling Stone album is Let It Bleed, but that one's kind of, I don't know, there's a lot of classics. Listen to Exile on Main Street by the Rolling Stones. There's some really good songs on there, some ones that a lot of aren't really the radio hits, but, you know, Tumbling Dice, Rocks Off. There's some really good Rolling Stones songs on Exile on Main Street. So if you want some good Rolling Stones, you know, because the drummer just died today. One of the drummers just died today, which is really sad. So go check out Exile on Main Street.
Nice. Next category.
You guys are so cultured.
Way more than you.
Highly recommended Twitter account. Taylor, kick us off.
Okay. I actually thought about this one for a second, and I don't know how to say her name, but Sirut K. Chawla, psychotherapist. I'm going to see if you can see it on my screen. You probably can't. Dang it. I'll put it in the chat. Anyway, she's been tweeting a lot lately. It's SEERUTKCHAWLA. And everything she posts lately, it makes me really think a lot. And so
that's good.
I'll put that in the comments. But yeah, check her out.
I'm going to go for a feel-good Twitter account, and that is dudes posting their W's.
Oh,
so
that's
anytime anything happens good to a man, they post it on Twitter. Dudes posting their W's picks it up and makes it go viral, and it's just so good.
I love that.
You never know what you're going to get from them, too. Yeah. And it'll be like maybe someday like a guy who lost like 200 pounds. The other one is like a grandfather that got a new puppy or something. It's just adorable. It's a great Twitter account.
Got a new puppy.
Yep.
I love that.
It's a great
That just
account.
Makes me wish I recommended women posting their L's.
Women posting their L's. I almost recommended that, but I didn't.
I'm going to recommend Center Street, which is the publisher of my book, which you guys can pre-order now.
Oh, I'm going to cut off your mic.
I will recommend Dr. Joseph Mercola, and that's all I'm going to say. You guys can do the rest and look it up.
Nice. Next and last category, highly recommended dates. Taylor, kick us off.
Will's going to start this one.
Oh, Will's
I'm
going to
start this one.
Okay, Will, you're really setting a precedent here. If you give a bad answer.
No, I've never been.
Your reputation is smudged.
I've never been on a bad date. Well, I've been on bad dates, but not because of the plans that I've made.
Okay.
It's because of them. Okay. It's never been because
of
me.
Take her to a park and bring a picnic basket and a blanket, spread it out, open up the picnic basket, and pull out How to Win Friends and Influence.
Yeah, me.
I'm just going to give you a live reading, live audiobook.
Yeah, book club. With my book, How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies, which is available for pre-order on Amazon right now, if you guys know. We're 1 month out, just by the way. That's why I'm kind of pushing this, okay? So please, go read the book. My date idea would probably be, I've done some pretty creative ones. I've done a scavenger hunt. I've done like different letters and notes and things, all sorts of different. I mean, I've done some ridiculous deals. I would say, I'm trying to be creative.
Okay, I'm not going to be creative.
All right, tell me. All right, I did one where, for a girl who I dated, I got a box, and then on the outside of the box, I wrote like, quotes to books we had both read, and then like songs that I that like she liked, and wrote song lyrics on it, and then like inside was like things that we were gonna do, like on all different things that she liked. It was a very cute idea.
That is very cute.
Yeah. No, it was great.
That's a good date answer. Taylor's rolling his
Why are you
eyes?
Rolling your eyes, Taylor? That's cute as hell. Yeah, and then at the bottom I broke up with her.
Taylor, what's your answer?
Why are you rolling your eyes at that?
It's fine. I mean, it's...
What do you mean it's fine?
Are you saying it's cheesy?
I mean, I don't know. A little bit.
Girls love that stuff.
Girls do love that stuff.
So
you can sweep them off their feet with this stuff.
Listen, get them a broom. You sweep them off their feet and then make them sweep up the mess.
Oh, okay. Now we lost the points. You lost all the points that you gained.
Dang.
Taylor.
I don't know. I just go on so many dates with my fiance. It's hard to choose.
Oh.
Honestly, some of my favorites is like when we just go after work one, like on a Thursday or something, and you do a happy hour at one of our favorite places, and then come back home and play cards. And we have...
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. We're like, are super competitive, especially in our card games, and we keep track like over time of who won more times. And
the same way,
there's this game called Play Nines that we've been into lately, and I'm bringing it to our honeymoon just so we can play like by the pool in Mexico or whatever. So anyway, I mean, just something simple like that. Nothing too too crazy as a contrast.
Mm-hmm. Mine is going
to
be.
I'm trying to be unique.
No, you need both.
Yeah, no,
you
that was
both.
Unique. That's
but
good.
I'm just
you
saying, I'm trying to show the other side of things too. You know?
Yeah. I'm going to go simple. I like a good beach date. The thing with the beach date, though, is a night beach date. That's the best time. Best time to go to the beach is at night. And I stand by that. So, night beach date.
My
nice
fiance
walk.
Gets, then you can't she's like, I'm cold. And she's like, we're done.
Yeah, it's too
once,
cold.
Once what? She feels cold, she's like, no fun.
No, it's so cold. Nice.
But I mean, I like it. I mean, I don't know.
What's the point? You're not getting in the water.
Yeah, you're not getting you're a tan.
You can get in the water. You can get in the water. I've definitely been to the beach at night and gotten in the water.
It's rough and coarse.
No, it's great.
It gets everywhere. But not like here.
God.
Anakin, you're breaking my heart.
You did this. All right.
Sorry, Alma.
Sorry.
You guys can date Will and Taylor if you guys want to hear endless references for the rest of your life.
That was Star Wars, not
that is all that you get. Not Lord of the Rings. I know it's Star Wars because I've heard the reference a million times.
I'll reference, what do you like to watch? Parent Trap? I think I know a few lines of that.
I've just been bullied for an entire hour and I quit. So I hope you guys like the stream. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell if you enjoy watching this show. It is every single weekday at 2:30 PST, 5:30 Eastern. Sorry, Will. If you guys want to listen instead of watch, you can go to Spotify, Apple, or Google Play. Leave us a 5-star review so that other people see the podcast and hopefully we get more listeners because we enjoy having you. Also, if you're a high school student, college student, or a young professional below the age of 35, you can join PragerForce by going to PragerForce.com and meet like-minded conservatives and possibly be on the show with Will and I. And as a nice little plug at the end of the show, go and pre-order Will's book.
How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies. Go to Amazon.com, find it. It's on there. It's going to be the best decision of your life. And if you've already pre-ordered it, go get one for your mom or your friends or your pastor or your dog, whoever.
So, have a great day, guys.
Have a great day. It'll be better if you order the book.
It'll be better.